This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to you from the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copy of today's sermon will follow the program. We invite you to tune in to our broadcast every Sunday for worship with us.
Hasn't God given us a plan for financing the work of His kingdom? We're going to talk about that question in my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, we so often say that You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And so You are. But we realize, O God, that that gift was to be used responsibly, and a part of it was to be returned to You. But so often we must confess that we have not always given back to You that which You rightfully deserve, but more than that, which You simply want to have from Your children. Speak to us through Your word today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Friends in Christ,
In the early years of my ministry, there were many congregations who would have large money raises. It was to help them raise the budget for the coming year. There would be huge dinners with great food, and people from all around would come to eat with us. I recall one day a funeral director said to me, "Well, I have just purchased your tickets to your dinner. I have been financing your church budget for many years, you know. It's something that we have always planned on, that the congregation would be ready with some more good food, and we were anxious to come." I'm sure that many in the congregation enjoyed this getting together, and the people who did the work with these great events seemed to enjoy it too. But still, there was something about this whole event that bothered me and asked me, hasn't God given us a plan for financing the work of His kingdom? I pondered that question, asked it in many places, but then one day I got a word from a good layman who explained to me the verses in St. Paul's 8th chapter to 2 Corinthians, beginning with the first verse. Let me read it to you. This is God's plan of financing His kingdom. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Then if you turn over in your Bibles to chapter 9, here is another part with the same theme. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as His word has said. My eyes had been opened. Oh, it isn't that this was the first time that I had read that passage. I had read it many times. But I really didn't give too much thought to what God was saying in this word until I met a man by the name of Sam Edwards. Sam Edwards was a layman, but he was a man who had really learned what the Word of God had to say about the financing of His kingdom. You see, the Christians down in Jerusalem were suffering. They were hungry. They were dying. Some of them were dying because they were being persecuted for trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Now, up in Corinth, things were not too much better, but they were a little better. And Paul knew that the Gentile Christians in Corinth needed to have the experience of really giving some of their money to the Christians who were Jewish in Jerusalem. That was a big step. And so he asked them to give liberally. And here, if you take this passage of God's word that I have read to you today, in chapter 8, verse 5, you notice that there is this powerful statement. Before they gave a penny, they gave themselves to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means that the people who lived in Corinth were committed Christians. They lived in a personal relationship with God. They had received Him. They not just joined a congregation, but they walked day in and day out with the Lord. You see, Sam Edwin said to me, God does not expect an unbeliever to respond to giving for God's kingdom. Not at all. The first thing that you have to do is be a believer in Jesus Christ. I mean one who is really committed to Him. The motivating power to give to God's kingdom is to know Jesus Christ. Giving is a part of the Christian life. It calls for a personal relationship with the Savior. We give out of love to Jesus Christ. It is a part of the Christian life. Well, then the question came, how much should you give? And I've heard many a person say to me, well, we're supposed to give 10% of what we have. And then we would go on to say, is that before taxes or after taxes, or what is it? I think that Jesus goes far, far beyond that in the New Testament. This is between the believer in Him and Christ Himself. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly, nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's found in the 9th chapter, verse 7. It's between you and the Lord. Now, if you say that you can get by, so to speak, with $1, $5, and you're making a big amount of money on a regular basis, if that's how much you love the Lord Jesus, well, that's what He would ask you to give. You just plain give what you believe you should give, what the dictates of your own heart tell you to give. You give in relation to your faith in Jesus Christ. The Corinthian Christians, as I mentioned to you, did not have a lot of money, but they had enough to get along. And Paul said, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and beyond their ability. Now there I think we have God's plan for the financing of His kingdom as the gospel of Jesus Christ goes throughout the world. For we know that if we are going to maintain His church here in this society, that it does cost us huge amounts of money. And where we have expanded and the things that we have done has caused a lot of strife because we didn't know how we could actually earn or raise that money that was yet to come. Putting this together, I asked my church council. Now, remember that I was just a young pastor. If I could have the permission to base our stewardship emphasis on that particular year, on this portion of God's holy word, and they gave me that right. So I studied hard, really tried to get into the depth of what it meant. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Then they had to decide according to the dictates of their own heart, as the Holy Spirit had spoken to them. And then came the Sunday when I entered into the pulpit. The first thing that I did was to say to my friends there in that congregation, a wonderful congregation, I love them and I believe they love me. Today is Stewardship Sunday, and I'm speaking to only those of you who live in a personal relationship with Christ. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if your life is not committed to Him, if you just simply have a head knowledge of Jesus, but He does not direct your life, He is not living in your soul, then this sermon is not prepared for you. We're talking about financing the kingdom of God as we are a part of it here. If you're not a part of the kingdom of God, and you aren't unless you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no obligation to give anything. You are not a part of the missionary force of this congregation. You are a part of the mission of this congregation. So think very, very carefully now. What is your relationship with God? Is the envelope that you will put in the offering plate today going to dictate, going to show what kind of a relationship you have? Then let it be that way. Oh, now, if you wanted to give a token gift like you do to some other organization to which you belong to keep it going, God will use that too. But the people that I'm really talking to today, who are supposed to really be concerned about getting this gospel of Jesus Christ out, not only in our own community, but in the far parts of the world, this is what God has to say to you. You give out of love to Christ in relationship to your faith. And I can't remember all that I said to them, but I know I had enough in the sermon that I got a real reaction from this wonderful congregation. But some of those people were very angry. And between our services, the president of the church came up to my office, and he said, "I tell you, Pastor, we love you, and we like what you're doing, but today you overstepped." Notice, I overstepped. "I will not permit you to preach that sermon at the second service." Well, I looked at him and I said, "My friend, then we'll have to do something else, because I can't shake another sermon out of my sleeve. And that's the only one that I have. And you may dismiss me as your pastor after today, if you wish, but I will preach that sermon." That was one reaction. Another deacon in the church, a man who was a man of means, went to the vice president of our church, and a man who was the chairman of the stewardship committee, and who had worked with me through this whole Sunday service, said to him, "Bob, we can't let this kind of a stewardship program go on in our congregation. Why, they're getting all kinds of money down there. They won't need it. And they spend it like drunken sailors for all kinds of things." This chairman of the stewardship committee said to this old deacon, a man who had served the Lord Jesus supposedly all of his life, who had claimed as a deacon of the church to know him personally, "John, you're giving too much. You only have to give as you love. If what you're giving is too much, then cut it in half. And if that is too much, then cut it again. But we want to see what the Holy Spirit really has motivated us as a congregation to give." Other people were quite different, because at the end of that Sunday, we had doubled the amount of money that we had the year before. We had twice as much money for our budget in the forthcoming year as we had expected to give. And so we continued that program, centered around this thought, you give out of love to Christ in relationship to your faith. Now the city grew, inflation came, our congregation grew, and over the 40 years that I preached that same sermon, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, the amount of money came to that congregation, growing from $17,000 to over $2 million. Many of the Christian people only had to be taught, as did the pastor himself, yes, myself, what Jesus had really said to the people and what the Word of God was actually saying, how we should give and what should happen. We began to see the joy. I remember when we could gather together with all of this extra money in the congregation. No more big suppers. I kind of missed them as far as the fellowship was concerned, but I never missed them as far as a means to really raise the money to do the work of the church. Not at all. But we would gather together, and here would be so many thousands of dollars together. I remember, for example, that night when a young man said, "There's nothing that I want more than to go to the mission fields in Nigeria." church council member sat there and said, why don't you go? Because the church at large has not yet said that they had the money to finance me. How much money would it cost to send you? Well, it's not only my salary, he said, but it is also that you have to outfit me. You have to give me some of the necessities. Figuring it all out, that church council member said, I move that we send so-and-so to Nigeria whenever the church at large has a place for him. What a joy. We had our own missionary that for money that was overflowing because we give out of love to Christ in relationship to our Savior. And then there was another time I recall, I'm just going to give you a couple of them, where there was a very, very lush mission field in a California town that was just blossoming. This was after World War II. And the church at large, United Evangelical Lutheran Church at the time, wanted to put a mission there. But the person in charge of planting those missions said, we simply cannot do it. I began to talk to our church council about it. It took a meeting or two. And then one day, they decided to pursue it further, which we did. And then came the time that we sponsored that mission. We helped build the building. We paid the pastor's salary for a couple of years. We had the funds to do it. And so I had the answer to my question, hasn't God given us a plan for financing the building of his kingdom? Do we have to do all of these things simply to try to get a few dollars to tell the story of Jesus Christ to various parts of the world? Certainly we don't. He has blessed us. He has offered us all of these good things in the gospel. And now he said, don't simply use it for yourself, but use it for the whole world that they might know Christ. And so that has gone on. And it has been a joy in that congregation to see that we did not have to have all of these fundraisers, but we could just have the money there because people were taught you give out of love to Christ in relationship to your faith. We have three festivals in the church here, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. I've often thought we ought to have a fourth one. We call that Stewardship Sunday. For on the first three, God is telling us what he has given to us. Should we not have one where by God's grace we expound the message of giving out of love to Christ for all that he has done for us? Amen.
Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God.
Father, we thank you beyond all doubt that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. We sing our praises to you. We declare that everything we have is a gift that has come from you. And now, God, as we have centered our thoughts in what you have told us through the Corinthian congregation, that we are first to give ourselves to Christ, and then in relationship to our faith, we give out of love to the kingdom. We know that it works, but, O God, it is so easy for us to keep what we have and give only a pittance of what we should give back to you. Open our hearts, move us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, and grant that we may understand that truly you have given to us your way of doing the work of your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray today's sermon will be a source of peace and comfort for the coming week. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders has been supported entirely by listeners since its beginning. Because of these gifts and prayers, people around the world have been able to hear the message of salvation. Some listeners have even chosen to remember Christian Crusaders in their estate planning. These estate gifts have become a significant part of our ministry and allow the giver to continue glorifying the Lord even after their time on earth has passed. To find out more about estate giving or other types of gifts, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Or you can direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Today's service also is available to be read or heard online. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org to find hundreds of archived sermons, a daily devotion, historical photographs from our ministry's past, and a guide to our new online tools like Facebook and Twitter. Plus, listen to the sermon you've just heard any time of the day or night. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or a printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously every Sunday since 1936.